3 minutes. Welcome back into the Browns. It is Jonathan Pietro and it's Nick Madone. We are at the Barley House hanging out with you guys in what has been a really just a kind of rambunctious day here. We're supporting the Real American Freestyle. Nick's getting his taste of wrestling in.
That's a word for it. Rambunctious. I saw this guy with these gold shoes and there were spikes coming out of them. And then the guy that he's, like, I guess wrestling, not as big of a fan of the gold shoes as I was.
No, what did he like pick on him or something?
I guess. Yeah, I hear there's a lot of like trash talking happening behind us. There's a lot of cheering. There's, you know, we're on microphones, but there are also other microphones that are like competing with us now.
Yeah.
So, we are in the thick of it. Like, I'm ready. Like, wherever this is taking place this weekend, I'm ready to take my shirt off and just mix it up with them in there.
Okay. I mean, I'd save the commentary until maybe after everyone leaves the Barley House, and then we can kind of we can debrief. Does that sound good to you?
That's true. Yeah. Let me clarify. I don't want to wrestle anyone
here.
We'll
wait on the gold spikes and all this. So we'll wait until after they leave.
They can all clear out.
And we'll be real men about it. Yeah. And wait until they leave and then say what we think about it.
I'm cool with that. We're good to pick on the people that are remaining.
Say what you would say about the guy.
Yeah, exactly right. All right. So we had a little bit of a baseball story. Luis Ortiz, Emmanuel Clase are going to remain on the restricted list and administrative leave throughout the end of the 2025 season. And, Nick, it just doesn't make any sense what baseball's doing here. Either they have the info and they're going to end up being suspended inevitably forever is what it kind of seems like it's going to end up being. But either you have the info or you don't have the info. What's the holdup here?
It's taking a tremendously long time. You know, I'm actually taking the fearful side of this. Like, I think they've got info and they're making sure that it's as concrete as it possibly can be before they reveal that info to the public. Whether it be through a statement or whether it leaks out to the Passons and the Nightingales of the world, I think they're making sure that whatever they've got on these two guys, it's concrete enough for the punishment that's getting ready to come down. And if you look at baseball and how they've handled some of these other situations, I do have a fear for Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz that not only are their seasons done, and I think we all can expect that at this point, the lockers got cleared out, all of that was weeks ago, but, you know, now we're talking about their major league careers and you know, the punishment. Like, could it be a year? Could it be a lifetime? Like, that's the kind of conversation that we're having.
The only thing I would be worried about is, why are we at a spot where they can't just come down and drop the hammer? Like, what exactly is baseball waiting on? There has to be something that is keeping them from saying, this is just done, we are over it, and we are not going to move forward with these two players. Like, if it is as serious as everyone suggested that it was, and there was some gambling, and they were actually manipulating what they were going to do during the game to try to actually make money, then you have to treat this different. Like, this is the one thing that baseball has, and the one thing that all of these leagues have to have, is a belief that when you and I watch these games, there's no funny business happening.
Right.
Like, they have to maintain that, and so if they did what they're suspected of doing, what's the weight?
I think to play devil's advocate here, because I truly don't know what's going on, but to play devil's advocate, I do think
there's the gambling world. Is there a chance they just don't necessarily have it pinpointed down? Because they went to an extreme already to begin with. Like, you're saying no for a reason.
Yeah.
Because think about it.
And that's what I want to relay to the evidence to the audience here is how this all even came about. You know, these first pitches, right? These micro bets. You usually have got, like, as a sports book in our totality, we've got like a couple hundred bucks on the first pitch to be a strike,
when it first went down, I even related it to, remember the Alabama baseball coach who ended up getting popped because he was trying to bet $100,000 on a game and he was fixing it? And it's like, think about it. Like nobody bets $100,000 in a college baseball game. That gets flagged so instantaneously, just the idea that someone wants to bet. I mean, we talked about Texas and Ohio State, and we talked about how Circa, my friends over there, Derek Stevens, who owns the whole entire sports book, moved the line in such an incremental way because $550,000 is enough to make that. And that's one of the biggest college football games of the past 20 years. Nonetheless, if you have just a $100,000 bet on a college baseball game, nonetheless, the fact that if you have a $10,000 bet on one micro bet.
And that's exactly where the red flags come up. And that's kind of why I think that they're probably just waiting for the correct time to release all of this, because we're talking about this because we're in Cleveland and because it pertains to our baseball team.
Right.
But nationally, there's no chatter on this. And when they were both accused of it and when they both ultimately got put on this commissioner's exempt list, it was the talk of not just Major League Baseball, not just the talk of sports, but it was the talk of just news, general news, that there could be these professional athletes that were dictating the outcome of a game because of sports gambling. So I think what they're trying to do is make sure, cross all their T's, dot all their I's, that all of their information is 1,000% ironclad, and then find the right time to leak this
minutes,
out. Find the right
within,
time.
Well,
to,
we get into the right time in a second, but within minutes of the Ortiz deal, we knew that there was bets placed across three different states. We knew it was New Jersey. We knew it was New York. We knew it was Ohio. Like, if we had all that information and that was reported within minutes of this happening, what's the hold up here? Well, are they trying to connect the dots back to Ortiz? I have a hard time thinking that's the reality.
Perhaps.
Are they trying to pinpoint Class A down? Is that like where some of this is? It seems so odd to me that we just don't have a finite resolution here.
It is, especially because you do like okay. So now to lean into your side of the argument. Elsewhere around sports, right? Like Malik Beasley, who hopefully maybe winds up with our Cavs. That sparked. They investigated it. And it cleared.
Right.
This one, however, like, why are we just being... And the fact that there's no update, I think, is the other weird part about this. Mm-hmm. Like, and it just keeps getting... Every 30 days, are we just
like,
going to keep
what's
getting
what's baseball's
an
apology, though, if they end up that they screwed the pooch on this? I don't think that's the case, by the way, but what's baseball's apology? They've derailed the Guardian season in such a ridiculous way. You can make an argument that if the Guardians have Class A as their closer, we don't go through the Cade Smith stuff that we're going through right now, and if you have Ortiz in your starting rotation, you're clearly in a much better spot. Ortiz and Class A, from a pitching standpoint, are still two of the top five players in wins above replacement. What are we going to get from Major League Baseball if they just missed on this and they can't actually associate the bets back to these players? A nice apology?
The same thing. I mean, Malik Beasley should be looking for $40 million.
$40 million. It cost him so much money. And you know the end result, if it ends up being something like this, we're not going to get anything out of this.
No, it'll be my bad.
Guardians fans' seasons has been tanked and has been ruined. And in large part to what happened with these two players. And the best we would get is, we think there was something fishy here, but we couldn't pinpoint it down. Okay, great, thanks. And again, maybe if they have everything, then come out right now already and put the hammer down and then lay down what your ultimate result is going to be. If they bet on baseball, ban them for life. Yep. We all know that's the end result. If they bet on baseball, ban them for life, and keep this thing moving.
They do need to, like Major League Baseball as a whole, it needs to use this whole thing as a learning lesson on how to handle this as we proceed. It needs to be a lot quicker. The fans shouldn't be left in the dark. The organization shouldn't be left in the dark. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're, think about how many people they employ in that front office. There are people who are not focused on the outcome of tonight's game and this weekend series. There are people that are monitoring what this offseason is going to look like, the potential trades that are going to be out there. Maybe they'd like to move Emmanuel Clase if he's cleared from this. How can you continue to keep these people in the dark? They need to speed this entire thing up. They really do.
216-474 to below 92. Michael in a car up next on the Fan. What's up, Michael?
Hi, guys. I think this is a little bit generational and a little bit instant Google search mentality. Used to be an investigator. If they were, let's say Class A was approached by an organized crime syndicate and tempted and told nobody would ever find out because of the sophisticated way that they put together a syndicate. And with gambling being worldwide, with banking being worldwide, with not even knowing how many other people involved, this investigation could just be taking time. There could be criminal aspects to this. There could be other players. This just isn't a matter of did he do this until you know what this is. And if there's a criminal element to this, you have to get every shred of evidence if you have any hope of winning your case in court. Because it doesn't do any good to charge somebody with something they really did and not be able to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. So the mere fact that investigations aren't Google searches, and over in 2 months or 2 weeks or 2 days or 10 minutes is just because sometimes in the real world, things take time.
And I can understand that, and thank you, Michael. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your perspective. One, this should be at the top of the list for Major League Baseball, though.
Right.
You are an $11 billion industry. I would imagine if you had people gambling on your games the way that baseball appears to have, you'd probably want to put this up the flagpole.
And
this might have a top priority red flag on it.
Especially, Jonathan, because this is the golden rule, right? This is what
baseball's built everything around, the idea that they have integrity. And
right.
When Pete Rose bets on baseball, he gets banished and made to live in it for the entirety of his life based off of that. Like, this is something they take very seriously. Now, I do want to address the other side that Michael's getting to, and there is something that when these things first started being floated around, there were people in the baseball community that was wondering if you're going to the crime element of this, not a syndicate
right.
necessarily, more the idea that was Class A, was Ortiz, did they have a situation? I saw Joe Sheehan pose it this way once, and it stuck in my brain. So if I mess it up, just stay with me. The idea that if you had a family member that was being told by one of these crime syndicates,
right.
basically, hey, we're going to hold you here with a knife to your head, with a knife to your throat, and you're going to get your brother, your cousin, your whoever that's in Major League Baseball to go ahead and make these first pitch, whatever, make it the reality, make this happen. And then ultimately, instead of Ortiz being like, well, I trust the government, because he's not going to trust the government, or I trust Major League Baseball, instead of doing that, he just did it and said, well, it's fine. It's easier just to throw a first pitch ball, and then it makes them happy. My sister, my family member, whoever is, they're fine. No, we wash our hands clean of it, and it is what it is. Maybe they're investigating that side of it. It's the only thing I can ever think of, though.
And the other piece of it, I get that they want to clear, you know, because the legal thing is real. Like those questions kind of surfaced with the Shohei Ohtani stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
could not only there be a ban from baseball, but you also see one of the most beloved sports figures wind up behind bars, you know, because you are, this is fraud, really. It is. So
yeah.
they do have to make sure that everything is handled not only for their own personal business, but also if this thing does escalate to more of a legal issue.
All right, Matt in a car up next. What's up, Matt?
Well, yeah, you guys kind of start jumping on it. The biggest reason Ortiz and Class A are probably going to get hammered hard for this is that they can't just blame it on their translator. But, I just think it's hypocritical, the line the MLB draws here. You know, I know there's a sign all in the locker rooms going back to the Pete Rose days, you know, it's the don't bet on baseball, mm-hmm. whatever. But I feel like it's MLB almost kind of rubbing everyone's face in it. It's like you go out on Twitter or Facebook after the games or before the games for the Guardians, presented by Bet365. You look on the boards, yeah. of all these stadiums. It's like DraftKings, FanDuel, all plaster all over. And like clearly the MLB, all these leagues are fine with like, you know, raking in all this money. I'm not saying
Matt, let me ask you this. Like, they also have alcohol sponsors lining the outfield wall, and Jose Ramirez isn't stumbling up to the plate because he's hammered. You know what I mean? These guys, just because it's advertised doesn't mean that you can do it. Like,
I get it. I think it's a different world with like gambling. Like, when MLB is throwing around their money into it, like, personally, if it's not baseball, I don't care if these guys are going around like gambling their own money or whatever. Obviously, I still hold to it that Class A threw a few of those games last year. Like it looks way more sketchy now, in my opinion. Just how he suddenly, just all of a sudden, lost it in that game against the Tigers when he gave up that home run, and then game three and four in the ALCS. Something all of a sudden shifted. I don't know if it was, like you guys said, if it was like some crime syndicate in where, like, you know, there's like pressure on him. But yeah, yikes. Like, honestly, I just think MLB is a little bit hypocritical on this, and they should obviously crack down on the, while you're in MLB, don't be betting on MLB games and stuff. But yeah, like, just, I don't know, the whole hypocrisy at all from MLB standpoint. By the way, they still haven't ever did anything to Astros, who were actually cheating game two.
All right, Matt. Matt, we appreciate the call, man. We got to run. Got to boogie. All right, we'll leave that there. We'll get back to the Guardians and what this weekend series means just a little bit later on. Do you believe that winning is priority one for the Browns? We'll hear what Nathan Zagura had to say next. It's the Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.